Okay, I believe it's 1:30. I'd like to get our meeting started. Good afternoon, everyone. At the outset, I have to say I apologize for being remote on this meeting. It certainly is not ideal, but I needed to be here today, so I apologize. Hopefully, we can get through the business at hand with the assistance of technology. So I need to start with a roll call of board members. If you could, please, when I call out your name, indicate your presence. For the record, Peter Lisi, obviously present. Mike Angelini? I don't think we're going to have Mike today. Mike? No. Lawrence Davis?
Present.
Steve Elbaum?
Present.
Thank you. Daryl Hill?
Present.
Thank you. Kimberly Kennison?
Present.
Susan Martin?
Present.
Alan Matamana? Not expecting him, Alan. And Mark Vahalik. Okay. And also individuals are asked to state their name and title if applicable before speaking during the meeting. And votes will be taken by roll call unless the vote is unanimous. And staff, chief of staff, when I call your name, please indicate your presence. Jeanette Weldon.
Okay.
Rebecca Ablett.
Here.
Thank you. Denise Aguilera.
Here.
Thank you. Kevin Berry. Kevin. Rob Blake.
Present.
Thank you. Dan Junji. Dan. Bob Jandro.
Present.
Krista Johnson.
Present.
Dan Kurowski.
Present.
Carly Levin.
Present.
Joanne Makowitz.
Present.
Michael Morris.
Present.
Marlene Pagan.
Here.
David Pantaleo. David. Cynthia Peoples.
I'm here.
Julia Polano.
Present.
Kara Stewart.
Here.
And Betty Sugarman Weintraub.
Present.
Did I miss anyone? Anyone? All right, great. We are good to go. Thank you all. First item of business, review and hopefully approval of our minutes from the July 20th board meeting. I hope people have had a chance to take a look at them, and I would entertain a motion to accept the minutes. Would like someone like to make the motion?
This is Lawrence, so move.
All right, the motion's been made. Is there a second?
I'll second, Steve.
Thank you, Steve. So the motion's been made and seconded to accept the minutes as presented. Is there any discussion, any edits, changes, comments to the minutes? Hearing none, all those in favor of accepting the minutes for July 20th as presented, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Are there any abstentions? Thank you very much. Next item, a couple of different reports. Jeanette, would you like to start with the authority update?
Sure. Thanks, Peter. And nice to see people in person for those who could get here in person. And hopefully going forward, we'll see more of you in person. But I just have a couple of comments I want to make, and then I'll turn it over to Michael for some client updates. But the state auditors, despite the fact that we're just wrapping up with the independent auditors, the state auditors have arrived, and they are doing an audit of fiscal years 20 and 21. And the sort of distinction with the state audit versus the independent auditors is the state auditors are much more focused on compliance with policies, procedures, and statutes. It's sort of a big focus of theirs. But so we'll be... Cynthia, Joanne, and actually others on the staff will be working with the state auditors. We will be having in a couple of weeks on October 14th a CHIPA CHESLA day of service. So this will be the first off-site in-person day of service since the pandemic, and we will be doing some indoor and outdoor cleanup at a Salvation Army child care center on Sigourney Street here in Hartford. So we're looking forward to that. And then the last thing I want to mention, in response to some feedback that we got on a client survey that we conducted, we are going to be offering a client newsletter. And the newsletter will, this is an effort that's being led by Dan Gingy, who's our government affairs and communications specialist, and also involved are Michael Morris, Dan Karowski, Kara Stewart, and Rebecca Atwood. So we're looking forward to that. The first issue is going to come out, you know, three or four times a year. The first issue is going to be post the election, so we can incorporate some commentary on the makeup of the General Assembly and potential, you know, expectations in that regard. And then it will also include industry and, you know, sector trends and development. So we're looking forward to getting that out, and the distribution of it will certainly be beyond just our client base. We'll include legislators, prospective clients, you know, grant recipients, et cetera. So that's all I have. And so I can turn it over to Michael.
Jeanette, this is Peter. Just a quick question, that newsletter, is that going to be distributed just electronically, or are you sending hard copy to recipients?
It will be electronic.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions? Any other questions for Jeanette? Okay. Michael, over to you, client updates.
Excuse me. New on the financing forecast for this month. As I mentioned, in July, we were expecting an application for the American School for the Deaf, which we did receive. That's going to be a private placement with M&T Bank as the purchaser. Proceeds of the $20 million offering will be used to construct two new dormitories and a renovation of a maintenance building. And they'll be seeking approval from CHIFA in November. And we also have Eagle Hill School. They're seeking to refund its 2016 Series B issue, with about $12.5 million outstanding. This will also be a private placement. The bank has not been selected. They went out and solicited a number of banks, but they're in the process of selecting one now. And they think they'll be seeking approval next month. Hopkins School, the financing was delayed a little bit only because of the rising construction costs of approximately 20%. So the school's in the process of scaling back on the project, and we'll be presenting that to their board at the end of the month. And if it gets approved, then we'll be moving forward with the pricing next month. And Quinnipiac University is still waiting on the town approval for their project. Most likely that won't go until around November after their audit is conducted for fiscal year 22. For bond closings last month, we closed ACES transaction. It was $12.8 million transaction. It was a private placement with KeyBank. And also, Jeanette and I are resuming our client outreach meetings. We met with CCMC last month on their $280 million project that will be funded in part with CHIPA bonds. Timing the issue is most likely the beginning of next year. And we also have meetings set up with Harvard Healthcare, Stanford, Yale, New Haven, Griffin, and New Bronx over the next month. And that's about it.
Any questions for Michael? Mike, when you say that you and Jeanette are resuming those outreach meetings, do you mean in person as opposed to virtually?
We met in person with CCMC only because we're on the fifth floor of the building. Right. But the others will be electronically.
Still electronic. Okay. Anything else for Mike? Okay. Thank you, Michael. Cynthia, interest rate update.
Just very quickly, there was a handout that you were provided showing the change in the yield curve in general Obviously, the yield curve has increased significantly since last reported in July and still remains inverted. I did include an article regarding today's Fed meeting, which, of course, we seem to have impeccable timing with our board meeting and Fed meetings, but it was a two-day meeting yesterday and today with the expectation that they'll increase the Fed fund rate by about 75 basis points. So that's it for me.
Okay.
Peter, question? In looking at the graphic, I see the red is as of September 21, a year ago. Mm-hmm. The blue is as of a couple of days ago. The AAA MMD and the insured MMD, when are they as of?
They're definitely as of this week.
Thank you.
So I believe they're reset Monday, the 19th.
Anything else for Cynthia?
No.
Thank you. And one more update. Bob, market update?
Actually, not really much to comment on with regards to the transactions report. You know, I think, if anything, the lack of there being issues to list is a reflection of the fact that interest rates have had a large impact on the ability for issuers to issue in this environment. So.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Bob. Any questions? All right. Hearing none, we can move on to the next agenda item, that being the election of the vice chair for CHIFA. And I guess it's somewhat fortuitous. Mike Angelini is not here today, although I can assure everyone that I did have a conversation with Mike, and he has very graciously accepted the ask to continue serving as vice chair. So this requires a vote by the board, an action item. So I'd be happy to move.
I'll move.
All right, Kimberly. I will second it. The election of Mike Angelini to serve as vice chair. The motion has been made and seconded. Are there any comments, questions, discussion? And again, I can assure everyone that I did have the conversation with Mike, and he has agreed to do it. So hearing no other discussion, all those in favor of the motion, Angelini, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Are there any abstentions? All right. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you all. And thank you, Mike, wherever you may be.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike. All right. Dan, the revolving loan fund.
Staff would like to present a resolution to expand the revolving loan fund program to provide financial assistance to Connecticut-based organizations with a current 501c3 designation whose mission falls within designated sectors, and to approve the annual funding cycle notice 2023A and the delinquency/default management plan. Next slide. The revolving loan fund program was established in May of 2020. The board approved the funding level of $1 million. And since then, we've had three funding cycles to provide financing to existing CHIFA borrowers. Staff has closed $750,000 in loans to nine CHIFA clients to finance a wide range of capital projects and working capital expenses. To date, approximately $212,000 of the loans have been repaid, and there's approximately $460,000 program funds available. With $460,000 available, staff is proposing to utilize $375,000 for future loans issued under the 2023A notice. This level is sufficient to maintain adequate levels of funding for future funding cycles as well. Next slide. Notice 2023A makes funding available to 501c3 organizations in Connecticut whose missions align with the designated sectors of cultural institutions, child care providers, education, healthcare, human services providers, and long-term care/senior living facilities. The funds can be used to finance capital projects. The terms of the loans are up to 60 months at 3.75% interest rate, and the maximum amount of loan is $50,000. The loans would be unsecured as well.
Dan, this is Peter. Could you just back up to that slide for a minute? I mean, I should know this, but I guess I don't. When you say eligible applicants are 501c3s whose mission aligns with our designated sectors, and then you listed off quite quickly, you know, the seven or eight sectors. Are there any sectors that we wouldn't give a loan to? I mean, is there a 501c3 out there that we wouldn't make a loan to?
Yeah, so in the notice that was in the packet that would be posted, there, we kind of defined what those sectors were in more detail.
Right.
And so there's a wide range of 501c3s that wouldn't fall within that. Foundations, youth soccer, youth athletics, those kind of organizations. There's
okay.
a few others. So really, it's their traditional core line of business.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
So organizations that are interested in applying must meet proposed underwriting guidelines. These guidelines include criteria that the organization must be active for at least 3 years and able to maintain a debt service coverage ratio of 1.25 times, and the loan doesn't exceed the loan amount limitation. Applicants will be reviewed by an internal committee made up of client services staff members. The committee will then make recommendations to a chief officer who will review the application and determine if the application is approved to close. Just to kind of show you some other similar programs that are out, currently out there that is available for nonprofits. I wanted to highlight two of them. The Connecticut Small Business Boost Fund. This is a program that was created earlier this year out of the governor's office. It's a collaboration of multiple organizations, CDFIs, and banking institutions. Nonprofits do have the ability to get funding through this up to $500,000. And this fund is pretty, the application process is fairly easy with this program. Though nonprofits may be forced to have a general lien on the property. The other program is HEDCO, the Nonprofit Revolving Loan Fund Program. This program is operated on behalf of Hartford Foundation. They offer term loans and line of credits. So speaking with them, most of their borrowers are seeking just a line of credit just as to kind of boost their needs. And then to give you a kind of presentation of where we were going on with the interest rate for this, at the time, the five-year interest rate treasury note was at 3.45, currently at 3.75 right now. So with this notice 2023A, we're also presenting a delinquency and default management plan. This plan identifies procedures that staff will undertake to address loans which are heading into or in default. These procedures identify staff collection efforts, restructuring of loans, and potential write-offs. Just kind of understand the potential impact of defaults or write-offs on the program, staff analyze the hypothetical scenario. If 15% of the loans issued under this notice are written off after 1 year, the impact would result in a $15,000 reduction in annual loan payments. So this program would still be able to maintain sufficient funds for future cycles and really would be able to continue to offer loans and things. But anything above 15%, staff would need to reevaluate the underwriting guidelines to improve the credit quality for future funding cycles. So I would like to bring the board's attention to a typo in the underwriting guidelines under Section C, cash flow analysis. The second to last line should say maintain the debt service coverage ratio of at least 1.25 times. It currently says 1.1 times. So staff is requesting the board's approval of the Chief of Revolving Loan Fund Program resolution, which expands the revolving loan fund program It approves the annual funding cycle notice 2023A and the Chief of Revolving Loan Fund Program delinquency / default management plan. Are there any questions?
Hi. I think I saw in the materials that you've had 9 borrowers.
Yep.
And that it seems like a lot of the funds are unused. Is there kind of a slow uptake of the funds?
We actually have used all the funds that have been approved through the cycle. The first cycle, the first year we did it, we made, I think, $600,000 available. And that cycle, we didn't utilize all of that. But last year's cycle, we made available $600,000, and we were able to use all of that.
And, thank you. And what's the sort of the thinking behind, and maybe you expressed this at prior meetings, behind the size, the $5,000 to $50,000? Seems to me, you know, if they're aimed at capital projects, which I think this is a great idea to sort of supplement regular fundraising with a sort of capital specific program. Capital projects under $50,000 are probably fewer and, you know, hard to find. You know, is there any thought to raising that? And granted, it would probably go to fewer borrowers there then, but.
Yeah, that's the struggle we had, kind of. Yeah. You could raise it to the additional $75,000, and we just looked at the amount of borrowers. We also looked at some of the previous applications and how they utilize those funds, and a lot of it was for IT infrastructure. And I think talking with some of the other organizations, a lot of these, there was a need for like a lot of these silent costs. They're not great for grant applications. It's a boiler, it's printers, it's IT equipment. So I think that was probably a better. I think some of those could fall within that $50,000. Yeah, I think I agree with a lot of capital projects go above that. Yep. But you're just struggling to figure out how many borrowers you want to help.
Any other questions for Dan? Okay, well, I would entertain a motion to accept staff's recommendation on the CHIFA Revolving Loan Fund. Someone like to move that?
Make a motion to approve.
Thank you, Steve. Is there a second?
I'll second that, Sue Martin.
Thank you, Sue. So a motion is made, seconded. Dan's answered a few questions. Are there any other questions for Dan? Any discussion?
I do have one question.
Yep, go ahead, Kimberly.
Excuse me. Currently, I could have missed this. Do we have delinquent on any of these accounts where you have any, do you have any worry about the 15% that's being used of the write-off?
No. We haven't had any delinquencies at all. All the current borrowers are all CHIFA existing clients.
Okay, that's great news. So one of the other suggestions that could be made when you stated that you would relook at the program should you get to the 15%, another alternative would be to look at the collection process. Not just the you hit the 15%, right? Because there's other methods for collection. But we don't have to worry about it today, but I'm just suggesting that. And you haven't had to use it, so you don't know if it works.
That's the hard part. Hopefully we don't ever have to use that plan at
exactly.
all.
Exactly, so. Right. Understand. That's it. Thank you. Glad we're not using it. Don't have to use it. Yep.
Any other questions? Comments, discussion? All right, motion's been made and seconded to accept staff's recommendation on the revolving loan fund. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Are there any abstentions? Thank you very much. Motion carries unanimously. All right, Dan, the CDC Board of Directors.
Yep, staff would like to present the resolution to appoint the Chief of Community Development Corporation Board of Directors. CHIFA has the authority to appoint the members of the Board of Directors for this CHIFA CDC of which at least one half of the board must be members of the CHIPA Board of Directors. CHIPA has a resolution that the CDC board should be composed of at least of 10 directors, of which 9 of them are the current CHIPA board members, and one position will remain vacant till filled.
So essentially, we're electing ourselves to the CDC board.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. Would someone like to make a motion to accept staff's recommendation on the election for the CDC board of directors?
I'll make that motion, Sue Lawrence.
Thank you, Sue. Lawrence, did you second it?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. So it's been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
One question.
Yes.
I think we discussed it the last time there were appointments to the CDC board, but there's no concern of our financials report them together. That answers my question. Thank you.
I didn't hear the response. I'm sorry.
No, my question was going to be if having the CDC board be essentially the same as the authority board, or only authority board members on the CDC, the auditors would require us to report the CDC as a closely held entity,
right.
Which was really my question. And the answer is yes, we're doing that already.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
All right. Any other questions? Comments, discussion? All right, motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you very much, motion carries. All right, we have two committees to report on. The grant committee, who we met, lost track of days a week or so ago, and then the audit finance committee, which met just prior to this meeting. Lawrence, would you like to give a recap of the grant committee, please?
Yeah, thank you, Peter. So the grant committee met on September 9th, and the meeting it provides an opportunity for us to hear from speakers about what is new in philanthropy, as well as take a step back to assess our program and practices. Our speaker was Andrew LeVere, President Emerita of Prosperity Now, an executive fellow at the Yale School of Management. She presented on the area of enterprise capital, which is an innovative area for finance and not-for-profit organizations. She offers some, you know, very excellent and thought-provoking ideas, and there were many questions from board members about her particular topic. Her presentation would be provided, will provide an opportunity for us to look at, you know, where we might want to incorporate innovation in our future grant making. So, you know, I thought that, I don't know if any of the members that were present wanted to say or speak anything, Peter, but, you know, I thought that she was very thought provoking.
Yeah, I certainly would agree, Lawrence. I'm not sure who in the boardroom now wasn't at the grant committee meeting, but I thought the speaker was outstanding. I said it then, I would say it again. I mean, kudos to Jeanette and Betty for arranging such a interesting, thought-provoking speaker who certainly is an expert in her field. So I thought it was a terrific meeting, terrific speaker.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks again, Peter.
I agree.
Yeah, thanks, Kim. The grant committee has two items that are going to require a board vote. The first item is that the committee decided to split the remaining $2 million in funding available for the 2023 client grant program and the non-profit grant program. And that split was to be evenly split between the two. And the item does require full board consent as to this. Is there a motion? Or Peter, I think that probably is
on
you to go ahead.
The action of the grant committee was to split the $2 million pool into two equal allocations for the client grant program and the nonprofit not-for-profit grant program, $1 million each. That was voted on at the grant committee. It's the recommendation of the grant committee, and now it requires board approval. So I would entertain a motion to accept the grant committee's recommendation of evenly splitting the $2 million into those two, into those pools. Would someone like to make that motion? Lawrence, you can as chair.
Peter, I was going to jump up and say, yes, I'll make that motion.
Okay. And I'm happy to second it. I think it's a great program and those grants are very important. So I'm happy to second it. So a motion's been made and seconded. Are there any questions for Lawrence as chair of the grant committee? Any questions for Betty as staff member on the grant committee? Any questions or discussion on this item? Any? All right, hearing none. All those in favor accepting the grant committee's recommendation on the allocation of the $2 million to be split evenly between the client grant program and the not-for-profit program, please say aye.
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 Any, I'm sorry, I'm reading my, any abstentions? I'm sorry. All right, motion carries unanimously. Thank you.
Thanks, and, Peter. There's one other item that we have is that the grant committee also set aside a funding of $100,000 in terms of from its nonprofit grant program to support cultural sector. This is a sector that historically has received fewer grants than you know, the other sectors that the four sectors that CHEFR covers, which is healthcare, education, and childcare. And the cultural grant request will be reviewed together, and the committee will determine, you know, from these grants as to and to make recommendation to the board as to what awards should be made. If any amount is not fully used, those funds will be returned back to the non-client grant fund pool and be used for that particular purpose. So a recommendation was made by the grant committee to set aside the $100,000 for the cultural sector, and we're seeking approval of the board to do so.
So this action again requires board approval. It's a set aside of $100,000 for cultural institutions. Would someone like to make the motion to accept the grant committee's recommendation?
I'll make that motion, Peter.
Thanks, Lawrence. Would someone like to second it?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Steve. Motion is made and seconded to accept the grant committee's recommendation of allocating up to $100,000 to support grant applicant grants in the cultural area. Are there any discussions or comments for Lawrence, for Betty, for anyone on the committee? All right, hearing none, all those in favor of accepting the grant committee's recommendation, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Are there any abstentions? Thank you very much. Motion carries unanimously. And our other committee report will be given by Susan Martin just prior to the board meeting. The Audit Finance Committee met, and I will let Susan give a recap of that meeting.
Thank you, Peter. Yeah, so we just met. We first had presentations from two firms who responded to the request for proposal that was put out, I think, back in June for the engagement of the internal audit work. After a lot of discussion amongst the committee is making the recommendation to engage Barry Dunn once again for a three-year term to perform the internal audit function work for CHEFA. And we need a motion, we need board approval for that.
I will move acceptance of the Audit Finance Committee's recommendation to appoint Barry Dunn as the internal auditor. Happy to move it. Is there a second?
This is Lawrence, second.
Thank you, Lawrence. Okay, motion has been made and seconded to approve the Audit Finance Committee's recommendation to retain Barry Dunn as the internal auditor. Are there any questions for Susan or myself or anyone else who was at that meeting prior to the board meeting? Any questions on the process, on the two respondents, the decision-making process, anything?
One question. Does the board receive a copy of the internal audit reports, or are those just maintained at the Audit Finance Committee?
Cynthia, go ahead.
All members of the board receive the copies of the report.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else? Questions? Discussion?
One more. Is the internal auditor play a role as ongoing internal audit, or do they come in and audit specific programs and you get an audit report similar to the independent auditor?
So they initially come in and do a risk assessment, and then based on the risk assessment, they will audit each different high risk area based on a specific schedule that's approved by the Audit Finance Committee. And then we receive individual reports.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Kimberly. Anything else? Okay, hearing none. Motion's been made and seconded to accept Audit Finance Committee's recommendation to appoint Barry Dunn as our internal auditors. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Are there any abstentions? Thank you. Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you, Peter. The committee then also met with the firm representatives of Woodlesley and Hadley, who performed the independent audit. This was their first year through. Again, they went through, and management also provided some insight as to what the audit results were for this year. It was a clean opinion. And again, we are looking for the board to accept that external or independent audit.
Okay.
As was included in your package.
And I just want to make sure everyone knows, after the independent auditor's presentation, the committee did meet in executive session with the auditors without management present, just so everyone is aware that that step did take place. So there's board approval required of the Audit Finance Committee's recommendation to accept the independent audit. Would someone like to make that motion?
So moved.
Thanks, Lawrence. Is there a second? I'll second it.
I'll second it.
Thank you. So are there any questions on the discussion, the presentation, anything with regard to the independent auditor's presentation and the material in your packet? Questions?
Peter, I just want to comment. I basically just want to thank Joanne and her team, Carly and Kevin, and also Julia, and the work that was done in order to accomplish the task of putting the audit finance statements together with our new auditor this year. So they should definitely be, recognized for their work.
Absolutely.
I was actually going to mention it after the approval, but during the executive session, they actually
the
work that was done, a lot of work done by a small team, and I think they recognized that and appreciated that. It helped facilitate getting
the audit
done finally.
Yep. Great. Duly recognized for a job well done. Thank you, Cynthia, for bringing that out. So all those in favor of accepting the independent auditor's report, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you very much. Report's adopted. Susan, anything else from the Audit Finance Committee?
No, Peter, that was it for today.
I think that was it. All right, thank you. Is there any other business anyone would like to bring forward for the good of the cause? Any new business, any item that we've not covered? Any other business? All right, well, hearing none, I would appreciate a motion for adjournment, and I'll make that motion. Would someone like to second it?
I'll second it. It's Kim.
Thank you, Kim. Any discussion, comments? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries. We are adjourned. And we do have one more meeting.